Get ready to be transformed, inspired, and supremely blessed as you listen to the Word of God from Pastor AB. Prepare your hearts. You'd never remain the same again. God bless you as you listen.
Hallelujah. All right, so happy new month to all of you here. Happy new week. Happy new day. Happy new hour. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Are you ready for the Word of God? That's what I brought for you today, the Word of God. Aren't you excited? Hallelujah. What else could you desire but the Word? So pay attention. Praise the Lord. This service is a very special service. All right? So say this. Say, I am right now in a very special service. There's a special word for me. Jesus has taken me personally, and he has sent his word for me, so I pay attention. All right, it's still the month of Revelation. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All right, and guess what? I have a lot of verses here. Even for me, I think it's a lot. So what you're going to do is you're going to pay attention. Do you understand? Don't be distracted. Don't allow any distraction. Praise the Lord. Every word that we open, pay attention. That is God talking to you. Do you understand? It's not God talking to us. It is God talking to you. So pay attention. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah, so there are two big words I'm hoping to address today. And hopefully in your life, any subject concerning those words will be settled forever. Praise the Lord. I'm hoping you live here with confidence. Do you understand? Springs in your steps. Hallelujah. Yeah, so two big words. They're actually the same, but I like to mention the two. The first one is, who knows? What's in your spirit? Praise the Lord. So what's the second one? Light. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Are you in this place? Listen. All right. Those of us at the back especially, pay attention to me and respond. Do you understand? Respond. Your response means you are taking it. That's what it means. Do you understand? If you don't respond, it will just be there. But when you respond, you have collected it. And that's in the Word of God. I told you guys, and it's in the Bible. Paul went to Lystra to preach. And while he was preaching, remember, he just met these people. They don't know him. They don't even know miracles can happen. Do you understand? So he goes there to preach. And while he's preaching, there's a man who had never walked since the time he was born. Meaning he has no rehearsal, he has no experience. He's never walked before. Oh. And while he was preaching, the man was paying attention. Think about it. That was what made him different. It wasn't because he had so much money. We don't know how wealthy the man was. It wasn't because he was so tall. We don't know his height. We know nothing about that man. Aside three things. First one, he could not walk. He had never walked. Second one, when Paul was preaching, he was paying attention. And his attention was so strong, paying attention was so strong, that he got Paul's attention. And the Bible says, Paul saw the man had faith to be healed. But that didn't cause the miracle. He still could not walk. Until Paul said, hey, stand up on your feet. The man had never walked before. He could have stayed here and said, stand up on my feet. I've never walked. Maybe it's not me he's talking to. But you see, it's not enough for the word of God to come to you. You have to receive it. And the Bible says the man responded. He jumped up. What he could not do before, he got the ability. There's some of you, whatever you require, is not as serious as a layman walking. Do you understand? You say, okay, no matter what I want, at least I have my legs, I can walk. It's not that serious. So if the word of God, just paying attention to the word of God, can make a man do what he had never done before, how much more you today? So pay attention. and respond. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. So two big words. Number one, purpose. Praise the Lord. Number two, destiny. Are they the same thing? Are you in this place? Purpose. Destiny. Are they the same? You think they are the same? Let me see your hand. Only one person. Some people are planning not to raise their hand for anyone. Purpose and destiny, are they the same? Come on, I said respond.
Yes.
Are they the same?
Yes.
You think they are not the same? Let me see your hand. So what's the difference? So I say, I have a purpose, I have a destiny. Are they saying different things? I think they are the same. Okay? If you saw someone walking on the road, the person walked past you like this, then walk back again. Then walk back again. So what is the purpose of this? You're walking up and down. Now, if the person was just standing, do you understand? You might think he's just standing. But now he's moving. 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 He says, your purpose to confuse me. What's going on here? But then he's walking. Do you understand? So you assume there must be a destination to this. He's moving up and down. Do you understand? There must be an end. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah, so they are quite similar, purpose and destiny. So for the purpose of this service, all right, we are going to treat them the same. All right? So when you talk about destiny, you're also talking about purpose. Now, why is this important? Because that's the first question you should ask. Why are you here? Don't just go with the world. Why are you here? There's some of you, you're getting closer to leaving this world. You're no longer 6 years old. When it seems like the time was far. Some of you have entered your 30s, your 40s, your 50s. You're getting closer to seeing God. So, why are you here? Why were you here in the first place? Could it have been that you were here just to go? There must be a reason. So I think that is the most vital question you should ask. Why are you here? What's the purpose? Are you doing it? Or are you doing something else? Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
That's the most important thing. So at every given juncture, you can know if you're doing what God wants you to do. Your purpose cannot be to make money. Are you in this place?
Yes.
You make money for a reason. The reason why everybody wants money is for a purpose. Do you understand? It's not the end. Nobody just gets money, and say, I just keep it in the bank. Every day I check my account balance. Every day I'm just happy. Don't you want a new shoe? No, I just like seeing the money. Don't you want a new house? No, I just like seeing the money. Is that a serious person? No. The money should aid the purpose. Are you seeing that? So making money cannot be your purpose for being. And I said purpose is just like destiny. Praise the Lord. There's a reason why you're here. You have a destiny. Say, I have a destiny. Yes, you do. So when you know your purpose and your destiny, there's no distractions. Just think about it. In this world, there are many things, do you know? There are so many people, so many countries, so many food. People say, I like food. You've not even started. So many things. So a lot of distractions. But with purpose, you can be focused. Not everything is for you. Simple example, it's not every food you would eat. Do you understand? It doesn't matter how much of a millionaire you are. It's not every car you would drive. So that means that in life, there should be some focus, praise the Lord. Some direction. So you're not everywhere doing everything. There's a reason why you're here. And you see God's interaction with man in the Bible. He always gave them this idea that you can't be doing everything. I've called you for this purpose. Do you understand? God never had this idea. Never told them about you. You're going to be jack of all trades. I want you everywhere. No. The only person that was everywhere doing everything was Satan. Praise the Lord. And he's still doing it today. The Bible says he's going around like a roaring lion. Looking for who you are. But when God met Moses, he gave him a purpose. Are you in this place? Yeah. When God made Abraham, he gave him a purpose. Throughout, teaching us that man, every man must have a purpose. So you're not distracted. You're focused. Praise the Lord. You're not everywhere. Some people can say, the reason why I've not done drugs right now is because I'm not just interested. Once I'm interested, I'll start doing drugs. You see, there's no focus or direction. Anything goes when they are ready. That is not God's plan for you. Let's look at something. Proverbs 29, verse 18. Very popular. Proverbs 29, verse 18. I am blessed. I am blessed. Every day of my life, I am blessed. Is that true for you? When I wake up in the morning, lay my head down to rest, I am blessed. Oh yes, I am. Sing, I am blessed. Sing it like you mean it. Come on. I am blessed. Every day of my life, I am blessed. When I wake up, in the morning, lay my head down to rest, I am blessed. Oh yes, I am blessed. Hallelujah. All right, verse 18. It says, where there is no vision, the people perish. Is that true? Yes. I thought you'd say, where there is no vision, there is confusion. It shouldn't be as serious as perishing. You know what it means to perish? Praise the Lord. Yes. It says, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. We'll get to this. But I just like you to see that. I'm saying purpose gives you direction. All right? Focus. You can hit the nail on the head every time. And you can measure your progress. Because God expects you to measure your progress. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So here he's saying, where there is no vision, people perish. Actually, the word perish there is the Hebrew para. Alright? It means the people are without restraint. No self-control. Because there is no vision. Are you seeing that? So you have that guy. Where is he going to today? Canada. Tomorrow, India. Tomorrow, where is he? Japan. We have deported him to Togo. He's everywhere. Because there's no vision. The people that will tell you, I ain't living. Why? I have a reason to be here. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
So because they have a vision, there's some self-control. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
They won't just wake up in the morning and say, I'm traveling to Badagry. Why? I just like to see the place. Because they have a purpose. There is some self-control. Praise the Lord. So why is that student in class 8 a.m. in the morning? Because there's a vision for his being in school. He should pass. Praise the Lord. So that's the word that says, where there is no vision, the people perish. They para. Praise the Lord. Yeah, so that can be the Yoruba for the vex. They do anything anyhow. So purpose gives direction. And no matter the age you are right now, I think by this time, you should have some seriousness, focus, and direction for your life. Someone should meet you on the road and you say, this is why I'm here. And I'm walking towards it. And guess what? After this service, you'd say it. If you were not able to say it before. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Yeah. So purpose is important. Say purpose is important. All right. But I said I like the word destiny. So I'm starting with purpose. So if I'm talking about destiny, you know I'm actually talking about purpose too. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
But destiny, it's nice because it seems like the short form of destination. Are you in this place? When you hear destiny and you think of destination, it means that you're on a journey. In this life, you're on a journey. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Do you understand? You should be making progress. You're on a journey. You should be getting better towards fulfilling your purpose. So that's destiny. And God gives us the same idea. Go to Jeremiah 29, verse 11. Now write the scriptures down. It's so important. 29, verse 11. Oh, don't write it because now you delay. Let's look at the screen together. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
He says, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, said the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you what? An expected end. If there's an expected end, it means that there is a journey. You're going somewhere. He's saying that, I know the thoughts that I have towards you, think towards you, said the Lord. Thoughts of peace and of evil to give you an expected end. There's a place you should stop. Are you in this place? When you enter a bus from Surulere to Yaba, there's an expected end. The driver self will come down and say, come down. This is the end of the trip. Praise the Lord. So God gives you this idea that in your life, there is an expected end. There's a way he expects you to live. When you're done with this world, there's a way he expects you to go. Praise the Lord. But then this just tells you that you're on a journey. Every day you're getting closer and closer to that end. Do you know? Even in your age, you might be 22 right now. But tomorrow, you're 22 years old plus some days. You're getting closer and closer to that end. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Go to Proverbs 4 verse 18. It says, but the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. What I want you to notice is that it says, the path of the just.
The path of the righteous.
So the righteous person is on the path.
You're on a journey. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Go to Psalm.
Chapter 23.
Verse 3. It says, you restored my soul. He led me on the path of righteousness for his name's sake. All of this to show you. I've told you, God doesn't think you should be everywhere doing everything. There's a purpose for your life. And then you have a destiny. And every day you're getting closer and closer to the expected end. So you have to ensure that every step you take per day is accurate. It's the right step to take. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Hallelujah. So now that I know that I'm on a journey. I have a destiny. I have a purpose. No, say I'm on a journey. I have a destiny. I have a purpose. Say it again. Say, I'm on a journey. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. You have a destiny. You have a purpose. How do you then find this purpose and destiny? So let's start now. If you are going to go on a journey tomorrow, praise the Lord. Are you paying attention to me? You're going to go on a journey tomorrow and you sleep today. When tomorrow comes, what's the first thing you would do to start that journey? Person that gets the answer gets 1,000 naira. Now. And then before you know what's happening, I could increase it to dollars. So I said, what's the first thing? Don't try to be smart with me now. All right, you're going on a journey. You're going to, Calabar tomorrow. And you slept tonight. Abi, if you're traveling, you should rest. Do you understand? You sleep tonight. Tomorrow, what's the first thing that needs to happen? I think so. No, have you ever been thinking about a particular meeting or a journey? You sleep and you dream about it. And in that dream, you went to the place, you saw the people, you have finished the meeting. Then you wake up, praise the Lord, and you just might be late. All right, so the first thing, if you're going on a journey, if you have a destination, is that you do what? Wake up. That's simple, isn't it? Doesn't sound very spiritual, but it's important to start on your trip. On your journey of life, you need to wake up. Tell anyone, wake up. Let me show you. Go to Ephesians 5, verse 14. It says, wherefore he said, awake, thou that sleepest. Are you seeing it? It says, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead. Now this is getting serious. So he's talking about normal sleep here. He's saying, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. So this sleeping is a state of death. To begin your journey, you must awake and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. So how do I rise from dead? The Bible says when he died, we died together with him. When he was buried, we were buried together with him. When God raised him up from the dead, we were raised together with him. So we have arisen. Are you seeing that? We are born again. So the first step in your path, your walk of destiny, you must be born again. Praise the Lord. You must be born again. It says, awake, thou that sleepest. Awake, it's time to do something about your life. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You might have been sleeping, living your life anyhow. It's time to wake up. Arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's simple, isn't it? So first thing, when you begin the journey, is that you do what? Wake up. Say, wake up.
Wake up.
Yes. First step in walking in purpose, wake up. But if you're born again, you are fully awake. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, you are. Now that you have woken up, what's the next thing you do? Don't let me have your bats, because I'll kick you. Okay? Now you want to begin the journey. What's the first thing you do? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now I want this to be very simple for you. All right? If you were going to Ojuelegba tomorrow from your house, and it's the day for you to go, you wake up, don't you? Then the next thing you do, you prepare, right? Then now you're ready, what do? You step out. Are you seeing that? You step out. You take a step. Because it's a journey. There is an end. You have awoken. You're ready to go. So you take a step. Praise the Lord. All right. So we have awakened. We are born again. We know there is a journey. But then we must take the right steps. Praise the Lord. And I think if we can find the right steps, we can easily get to the right destination. Do you understand? Go to Psalm 119, verse 133. It says, order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. He says, order my steps in your word. So we have awoken. We are born again. We are ready to take the step, but it must be in the word. Are you seeing that? If the steps are in the word, what does that tell you? It means the purpose must be found in the word. It's not anywhere else. Pay attention to me. Don't get distracted. I said, you cannot be living this life. You have spent too much time wasting time. You must be focused now. All right? If he tells us the steps are ordered in the word, it means that the destination must be in the word. It means that your purpose must be found in the word. Praise the Lord. Yeah. It's true. Let me give you an example. Look at John. Go to John 1 verse 19. John the Baptist. You know, John the Baptist had a very interesting history. And we don't talk much about it because he was not the message. Praise the Lord. But do you remember his mom was barren? Do you remember? Do you remember his being born was also by a miracle? Just like Jesus, in a way. Do you understand? Not just that. Do you know his father became dumb? Could not talk. Until the day they named him John. That's a miracle, miraculous occurrence surrounding someone's birth. There are people that will tell you that when I was born, a black bird flew. They take it so seriously. My mother saw a black bed. Everyone was saying, what is this bed? What could this bed mean? Nothing. People like to make themselves feel special. So what could this bed mean, a black bed? You should even be concerned. All right? So John had some miraculous history. All right? I remember his mom and his dad were both Levites. His dad was a priest. So this is some cool kid. And then, you know, God had a plan for his life, so sent him to the wilderness. And when it was time for him to start walking according to that plan, he started preaching. Became so popular. Verse 19. He It says, and this is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who are you? The man had been preaching. Praise the Lord. I said, if he tells us other my steps, now this is David praying, do you understand? But he gives us the idea that your steps is in the word. It means your purpose can be found in the word. All right. Now they meet John and they ask him, who are you? John could have said, my name is John Zacharias. Sit down, I want to tell you my history. It's a very interesting one. My mother was barren. Do you know an angel visited my mother to announce my birth? He doesn't do that. Go to verse 20. And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. His purpose was clear. You know, Jesus said something very interesting in Matthew 24. He said, a time would come, people would say, I am Christ. Say, there is Christ. He said, don't believe them. Praise the Lord. So John was clear, he was not the Christ. He knew it. It's not me. Are you in this place? The word of God talked about the Christ. But John knew when he saw it, it wasn't him. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Verse 21. And they asked him, what then? Are thou Elias? Are you Elijah? And he said, I'm not. But Elijah did not die. Are you in this place? They all knew he didn't die. So the way he left is that they were expecting second coming. Do you understand? So if you're not the Christ who is supposed to come from heaven, then are you Elijah that we're expecting to come? He said, no, it's not me. He says, are thou that prophet? So what prophet is he talking about? Who knows? Remember, Moses had told the children of Israel that God will raise a prophet amongst them. So throughout, they have been expecting that prophet Moses talked about. That prophet. Are you that one? He said, no. Praise the Lord. Verse 22. Then said they unto him, who are you? That we may give an answer to them that sent us. What sayest thou of thyself? Verse 24. And they which were sent with the Pharisees, 25. And they asked him, and said unto him, why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, nor that prophet, 26. John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among whom ye know not, 27. He it is who cometh after me. Go to verse 29. Go to 23. I've missed it. 23. 2-3. How did I miss this? All right. He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. Now, this is very remarkable. Isaiah didn't mention his name, and Isaiah was good at mentioning names. Remember, he mentioned King Cyrus. Do you understand? But he didn't mention his name. But now, he's studying Isaiah, so I like the fact that he knew the book where his purpose was found. Are you in this place? And that is very precise. Oh boy, if I can find the book where my name is, no more distractions. He knew the book. He quoted it so that they don't make mistake and think it's Ezekiel. He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. So this man knew his purpose in the word. He was not distracted. Are you in this place? Look at it. It says, I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness. So where did he go to? Wilderness. He could have been everywhere. He could have gone to Egypt. He could have gone to somewhere else. But because he had a purpose, he was not distracted. He was found in the wilderness. Then he says, crying, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah, and that's exactly what he did. So no matter the challenge John would have faced in this life, he can always go back to the book of Isaiah and say, no, this is what I should be doing, and I'm doing it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So his steps were ordered in the word. Are you seeing that? Every day he could go to Isaiah and say, yeah, this is where I am. This is where I should be. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Same thing with Jesus. Hebrews 10 verse 5. Quickly, let's go there. Hebrews 10 verse 5. It says, wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, But a body has thou prepared for me. Now remember, it says the word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. So God gave him a body and sent him into the world. But he says, listen, God didn't want sacrifice or offering. Praise the Lord. Verse 6. In burnt offering and sacrifice for sin, thou had no pleasure. Verse 7. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. So John the Baptist knew his purpose in Isaiah. Jesus is saying, in the book, that is the scriptures, it is written of me, I came to thy will. So you're looking at important people that ever walked this earth. But Jesus said there was no man greater than John the Baptist. Meaning that in God's eye, John the Baptist was greater than Solomon. Are you in this place? Greater than Abraham. You get it? Greater than David. So this man that was so great found his purpose in the word. Jesus, who is greater than all, found his purpose in the word. He could trace it. Go to Luke 24. Luke 24, verse 44. And he said, just look, because time is fast spent, all right? And I still have a lot. And he said unto them, these are the words which I speak unto you, while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. John the Baptist knew his purpose was written in Isaiah. Jesus said, everywhere is me. In the law of Moses, in the prophets, in the Psalms. And because he knew his purpose was in the word, he ensured he lived according to that purpose. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, the Bible says when they came to arrest him in Matthew 26, Peter took the knife, struck someone's ear. Jesus said, no, put your sword down. He said, don't you know I can tell my father and he'll send more than 12 legions of angels? And he said, how then must the scriptures be fulfilled? So he knew his life was in the word. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And of course, when you read Isaiah 53, you know it talked about Jesus. Glory to God. So here's the thing. Can I also in my life, because wanting to guess, what's your purpose? Oh, I want to be a medical doctor. Why? To win souls for Christ. You know, Christians know how to do it. What's your purpose? I want to be a musician. Why? To win souls for Christ. So you can claim anything for yourself to win souls for Christ. And once you add that, nobody will question you. Because nobody wants to stop you from winning souls for Christ. But can you have a purpose that you can actually quote the scripture accordingly? I think so. And I will show you. Are you in this place? I will show you. Is it possible? I think so. John looked at Isaiah and said, he's talking about me. Jesus looked at the scriptures. Even Isaiah 61, when he says, the Spirit of God is upon me, I said, today this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. It's talking about me. If John found it in Isaiah, Jesus found it in Isaiah, there must be something about Isaiah. Praise the Lord. But on a more serious note, it means that I should be able to find mine too. Do you understand? I should be. So does that mean I just go anywhere and see something nice and collect it? Maybe. So just like Isaiah talked about the voice in the wilderness, maybe my own can be like Solomon. Solomon was the wisest and richest man, wasn't he? That can be my purpose, to be very wise and rich. But it can't be, because Jesus said he was greater than Solomon and I'm identified with him. Maybe my purpose is like Jonah, to travel, to warn bad people. But it cannot be, because Jesus said he was greater than Jonah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But I'm just trying to tell you that you can actually be very precise in life. Do you understand? And that's my plan for today. That's the plan of the Spirit of God. Where there are no shadows, no more questions, no more could it be, could it not be. You see it in the word. You can actually be so precise. You can find the verse, praise the Lord, and walk accordingly. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So how do I find it in the word? How? Like I said, can you just pick anyone? Say, me, I want to be like Samson. Praise the Lord. So people say, not me. Let Samson catch you. Why not you? Because his path was not very straight. But it was very strong, do you know? They are shouting insecurity, insecurity. Imagine you were like Samson. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All right. So how do you find it? How do you open the scriptures and say, this one is me? How do you do it? Can you do it? Oh, listen to me, listen to me, listen to me. Don't sleep off. Awake. Receive light. Listen to me. Can you do it? Can you be talking to someone and say, look, I know my purpose. Open this book. Let me show you. Is it possible? Is it possible?
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So how do you do it? Go to 2 Timothy 1 verse 9. Let's start now. Are you following me?
Yes,
those of us at the back, can you hear me?
Yes.
All right. 1 verse 9. It says, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. What I want you to focus on, it says, purpose and grace was given us. When God gives you a purpose, he gives you the ability to walk in that purpose and fulfill it. Are you in this place? So there is no purpose without grace. There must be grace. God sends Moses to Pharaoh and he asks him, what do you have in your hand? A rod? All right, that's good enough. We can use it. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
David is going to kill Goliath. What does he have in his hand? A stone. Even though he was anointed, that's good enough. We can use it. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Jesus is coming to save the world. What does he have in his hand? His life. That's good enough. He used it. And so when God gives you a purpose, there is grace. All right. So now you begin to think, if I know the grace God has given me, then I can know the purpose. Don't lose me here. If I know the grace, God has given me grace. If I know the grace he's given me, then I can be sure about the purpose that he's given me. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You know, it's like some people who are very smart. They say, you know, I can sing. But people cannot sing like that. All right? But the people that, boy, they can sing so well. So what do? They join the choir. See them. All right? They join the choir. So, of course, God has a different purpose. My point is, the logic is smart. If I can do this easily, all right, then I can walk accordingly. So if I can find the grace God has given me, what has he given me? What's the grace? Then I can easily trace the purpose for my life. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Don't sleep. Awake. Receive light. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now,
Paul wrote this to Timothy. But then Paul talked to the church in Philippi. All right? He told them that they were partakers of his grace. Let's go there, Philippians 1, verse 6. He says, being confident of this very thing, that he which had begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Verse 7. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. So Paul was conscious as a minister, there was grace upon him. And he's telling this church in Philippi that you are partakers of my grace. That means that nobody in Philippi should be asking, what's my purpose? Because they've seen it. Whatever God told Paul to do, they should be doing. Are you seeing that? And it's even more clear when you go to Ephesians 4. Let's go there. Ephesians 4, verse 4. And you know, and that's why Paul calls them partners. Partakers of his grace. 4, verse 4. He says, there is one body, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Are you part of the body of Christ? Yes. One body, one spirit. Is it the same Holy Ghost that is inside of you?
Yes.
Who has Holy Ghost 2.0? That's a demon. Praise the Lord. All right, so there is one body, there is one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, praise the Lord. So every Christian in China, India, Australia, it's one spirit. There is no Australian Holy Ghost. Do you understand? There is no Chinese Holy Ghost. That's the one responsible for tongues. No. It's one spirit. And we are in one body. And we have one hope. Verse 5. One Lord is one Jesus. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. One Jesus. One faith. One baptism. Baptism to the body of Christ we're talking about. All right. One God
and Father of all, who is above all and through all. So as Christians, we have many wantings. All of us share one thing. Praise the Lord. Verse 7. But there's a place where there's a difference. It's not one. There is one Lord, one God, one Father. When the guy in China prays, our Heavenly Father, I know it's my Father he's talking about. Are you in this place? When you see someone in Morocco saying, Father, do it. You say, why are you terrorizing my Father? It's the same Father he's talking about. Praise the Lord. So everything is the same except this one. He says, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. He didn't say, but there is one grace. It's the one. It's different. He says, according to the measure of the gifts God gave you, that's a grace. And if it's true that God gave me a gift, in that gift there is grace, and purpose comes with grace, then in that gift I found my purpose. So what's the gift? You know it. Go to verse 9. 11. He says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and what? Teachers. That's a gift. So when God gives you this minister, there is grace there. That makes you different. And then you find your purpose there. Do you understand? And it's common sense. In Revelations 2 and 3, all right? When Jesus talked to the church about their victories, persecutions, trials, he talked to them collectively. Are you seeing that? Per church was different because they had different purposes, different expectations. Are you in this place? You know, there's a particular church, he said, the church was where Satan's seat was. In fact, there's another church who told them that they will die. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Jesus told them, don't worry, you soon die.
But be courageous. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Look at it. Thank you. Look at it. Thank you. He says, even in those days, wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was staying among where Satan dwelleth. Look at it. He says, I know that works where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. And he didn't tell them, leave Satan's seat. Leave Satan's seat. No. Calm down. Are you seeing that? He talked to them collectively because they had a collective purpose. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Hallelujah. So the guy in this church will not say, no, I don't like this one. I don't want to be where Satan sits. I'm going to the other church. No. There's a purpose there. And guess what? There is grace for them to thrive there. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Hallelujah. So it seems like the group where you find yourself sort of determines your purpose. It's true. God called the priests to minister to him. He called the Levites to serve in the temple. If you were a Levite, you already knew your purpose. Are you in this place? You already knew your purpose. Don't think I will be king. No, a Levite cannot be king. He should be serving. Are you in this place? But, he said, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver between her feet. Until Shiloh comes, unto him shall the garden of people be. So the kingdom, the king, the kingship was in Judah. Are you seeing that? David. Praise the Lord. We call Jesus the Lamb of the tribe of Judah. And the Bible says Judah took over the right of the firstborn from Reuben. Praise the Lord. All right. So my point is this. The group you find yourself tend to determine your purpose. Another simple example, if you're a medical doctor, I think to an extent, you know your purpose in that regard. You should be saving lives, right? You should be helping the sick. Have you ever seen a medical doctor say, my purpose is to build a skyscraper? Say, you're a civil engineer. That cannot be your purpose, praise the Lord. Are you in this place? Yeah. You should be ministering drugs to others, helping the sick. So just by being in that group of doctors, praise the Lord, you tend to know what you're supposed to do. If you're a fisherman, your job is to catch fish. Do you understand? So this is just giving you many ways to tell you that one way to begin to find out what you're supposed to do is find the group where you're in and what is their purpose and take it to be yours. Praise the Lord. But remember, there's a destination to this, my message.
I said, after this service, you'll be able to look at the word of God and say, this is me he's talking about. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Lord.
All right. Are you following me thus far?
Yes.
So we say, Love Haven Church. Our purpose is to be all that the word of God is. You should know it by now. But is he in the word? I think so. Go to John 18, verse 37. John 18, verse 37. We are getting to the best part. Praise the Lord. Are you paying attention to me thus far? Tell your neighbor, don't sleep. It's getting better. Tell the other person, don't miss it.
Pay attention.
All right. Are you telling them, wake up? Praise the Lord. Wake up. Arise from the dead. Receive light. Praise the Lord. There are people that I should pray specially for, and I'm serious. They can't sit down without sleeping. Have you seen people like that? Praise the Lord. Yes, not you. But are people like that? They don't even know it. It's not because they didn't sleep at night. They slept. It's just something. Oh, and I'm being serious now. I'm not laughing. Praise the Lord. I'm being serious. It's just something they can't control. If they just sit dormant for a while, they are gone. They must be doing something. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Everybody, eyes closed. In the name of Jesus, you're being affected by that sluggishness. It is removed from you. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Yeah, but there are people like that. All right, 37. I want to show you something to shout about. At least to be excited about. Praise the Lord. 18 verse 37. It's so great. It's so great. It's so great that it's here like this, plain. Are you in this place? Plain. Easy. Pilate, therefore, now remember, they have brought Jesus before Pilate. I said, pay attention to me, it's getting better. They've brought Jesus before Pilate. They want him to kill him. And Pilate has some communication with Jesus alone. Do you understand? Those accusing were not there, just Jesus and Pilate. And Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou the king then? Are you a king? Because that was the thing about the accusation against Jesus that he said he's a king. Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. He didn't say, Me, king. I never said it though. No, he said, You said I'm a king. He says, To this end was I born. He knew he had an expected end. God had an expected end for his life. And he saw, there is no second guessing it. He says, To this end was I born. This is why I came. He says, For this purpose came I into the world. Jesus was so clear. No missing words. He said, This is why they born me. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
This is why I came into this world. He says that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. He says, This is why I came, to speak truth. Are you in this place? To testify of truth. Meaning that if you meet me, you've met truth. I don't lie. And I'm talking about, I did something wrong, I lied. No. The word of God is truth. The word of God is life. He says, This is why I came, to give life. To give truth. To give the word. No mistakes. If you met me, you have the word. Are you in this place? If you want something else, you can go and meet someone else. If you once want to tell you about what's happening with EFCC inside, you can meet the EFCC director, whatever. But when they come to Jesus, it's the word of God you will hear. Are you in this place? If you don't want to hear the word of God, don't meet Jesus. But if you want to meet him, he said, This is why I came. I'm very focused. I don't get myself in other things. Just the word. He says, This is why I'm here. To bear witness unto the truth. Guess what? This is why we are here. This is the purpose of this ministry. You meet us, is the word of God that is coming out. Go to John 3, verse 34. It says, For he whom God has sent speaketh the words of God. For God giveth not the spirit by measure unto him. Verse 35. It says, The Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hand. What's the all things? He gave him words. His words. Because his word can make all things. His word made everything.
So when God sent him, he gave him what? He said, this is why I came, to give you the words God gave me. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is the purpose here. John, go back to John 18 verse 37. Write it down. John 18 verse 37. Someone says, why are you copying Jesus' purpose? Why are you copying Jesus' purpose? Have your own. Hey, it is our destiny to copy his purpose. Yes. Romans 8 verse 29. Go there. Say, I don't like all these things. Leave Jesus' purpose alone. No. He says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. He says, those that he foreknew, God foreknew me. He knew I was coming. And he says, he also did predestinate. That means he gave me a destiny. My coming is not a surprise to God. God didn't just wake up and say, ah, they've given birth to. Plan something for her. Plan something for her fast. No. He knew I was coming. He gave me a destiny. And what it is? To be conformed to the image of his son. Meaning that, praise the Lord, my destiny is so defined. He said, your destiny, look at that, my son. Be like him. What's his purpose? That's your purpose. Why was he born? That is why you were born. John 18 verse 37. So he tells me, purpose, to be conformed to the image of his son. Then I heard his son say something. He said, to this end was I born. Oh, so that's why I was born too. For this cause came to the world. Oh, so that's why I came too. To bear witness of the truth. Praise the Lord. That's why I'm here. Are you in this place? And he says, everyone that is of the truth heard my voice. So how is he bearing them? He's speaking. He's talking. I came to give men truth. I came to give them the word. Are you in this place? And do you know how easy that is? That's the best purpose ever in this world, ever, ever, ever. Thank God our purpose is not to go and climb Mount Everest. Some of us will not go. It's too cold. Praise the Lord. So thank God our purpose is not to go to the moon. Praise the Lord. Our purpose is to give men the word. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, it's going to say, but Pastor, God just told you that. He didn't tell me. You're in this ministry, aren't you? Yes. Go to Proverbs 22, verse 20. So listen, let's say God told us, the leadership in this ministry, your purpose is to give men the word, to speak wisdom. That's what it means. Do you understand? Praise the Lord. I need you to get this. It means that my purpose is, no matter what's going on in this world, if you meet me, it's only the word of God I have for you. Are you seeing that? I don't have, we'll see it. Just wait, we'll see. I have scriptures for you. I don't have any other thing. If you come to meet me, expect nothing less than Bible. Are you in this place? If you're going to be angry, don't meet me. Because even though your anger, I have a scripture for you. Are you in this place? Anger worketh not the righteousness of God. If you're angry at me, you're doing the wrong thing. Everything that comes from God is wisdom. You know, in Mark 6, the Bible says when Jesus went to his hometown to preach, the people said something profound. He said, where did he get this wisdom that such mighty works are being wrought by his hand? Meaning that wisdom has results. Are you in this place? Luke 7 verse 35, Jesus said, wisdom is justified by her children. Wisdom has results. Meaning that, oh my, if my purpose, are you in this place, is to give people the word of God, it means that I have their answers. And let me tell you something beautiful about giving people the word of God. Do you know a beautiful thing? There is no pressure to perform. Are you in this place? If with your own mind, your own idea, you went to go and tell someone, in the next 2 years you'll be a senator, nobody sent you, you went to tell them. Then, when it's getting to that second year, you'll just be praying. Do you understand? Because you don't want to seem like a fake. But if you gave them the word of God, you go and sleep. Let God betray every man a liar. Are you in this place? Let's see whether God will disappoint himself. What's my own? Glory! Woo! Proverbs 22 verse 20. You see, it's not many things. We don't have many things to do in this world. Are you in this place? Not many things. And I'll tell you how that your purpose being giving men the word of God would change their lives. Not many things. 20 verse. I like it. He says, Have not I written to thee excellent things in counsels and knowledge? I want you to follow this thought. All right? Now, this writer is writing, saying, look, I wrote to you excellent things in counsels and knowledge. Verse 21. That I might make thee know the certainty of the words of truth, that thou mightest answer the words of truth to them that sent unto thee. Now, did you notice something? He's saying, you came to me, and I made you know excellent things. Are you in this place? I made you know the words of truth for a reason. So now you will take the word of truth, and you go and meet someone else, and make them know excellent things also. Are you seeing that? And make them know the words of truth. So you came, and there's a purpose here. But now you've gotten the word, and now you're giving purpose to others. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yes. So when you go and you give people the word of God, you're putting something inside them. So they also will go and give others the word of God. And let me tell you something. Someone says, how does that help a poor man? Are you asking how the word of God can change a life? How does that help someone that is sick? Are you asking how the word of God can heal the sick? I said, with the word of God, we have everything. Yes. And let me tell you something. God told Joshua, be strong and very courageous. There's a reason he said that. Because he was telling him to meditate on the word. He said, turn not from it left or right. Focus. Go to Joshua 1 verse 7. Let me show you. Joshua 1 verse 7. He says, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do all to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. He said, listen, be strong and courageous to remain in the word. Because the people that will meet you with problems, and you too, you want to give them idea outside the word. Are you in this place? You might want to give them someone else's experience that you read about so they'll be encouraged by that. Be strong and courageous to stick to the word. Are you in this place? The Bible says in the last days, men will have itching ears. They want to hear something else. But when they come to you, it's the word of God. Yes. It's only Bible you know. Do you know? It's only Bible. And guess what? The word of God will produce the results. Yes. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There is no permanent certainty to any advice outside the word of God. It is the word of God that does not fail. It's the word of God that will never end. January, February, October, the word of God will still remain standing. Someone can give you advice from somewhere and it lasts Monday, Tuesday, Saturday is gone. Not the word of God. So what you do, you give people the word. That's your purpose. You give people the word. And when you give them the word, they give others the word. You know, it's like what Jesus said in John 4 verse 14. Go there. John 4 verse 14. Are you in this place? I'm rounding up. He says, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. So someone who is thirsty meets Jesus, he gives him water to drink. Are you in this place? But if he just gives him water, the guy will come again. Are you in this place? Yeah. He'll come again. He says, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water, springing up into everlasting life. Meaning that when he gives him water, he makes him a well. Meaning that he would never thirst, he will start giving others. You know, Jesus said, I am come that they might have life, and they might have it abundantly. Meaning that I don't just give you life, I make you a life-giving spirit. You begin to give others life. Now, what does that mean? I said, the purpose is to give men the word of God. And then make them give others the word of God. Go to Proverbs 10. Should we look at Proverbs 10? Okay, Proverbs 20 verse 5. Because one says, well of water, word of God, how does that relate? Look at 20 verse 5. It says, counsel in the heart of man is like deep water. But a man of understanding will what? So if someone came to meet me for counsel, it's like deep water. But the only counsel instead of me is the word of God. So I'll give them the counsel. I'll give them the deep waters. It is the word of God. Go to Proverbs 10, verse 11. It says, the mouth of a righteous man is a well of life. What's going out of his mouth? Words. Words. Praise the Lord. Words.
So it's very clear. There's no distraction. If my job, are you in this place? If my purpose is to give men words, let me tell you something. There are some people that get to a stage in their life that they are happy because people are not meeting them for advice. Maybe they are the richest people in their family. They are the ones training everybody in school. So everybody now comes to ask them for advice to make them feel good. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Hallelujah. I mean, you all know it. If you wanted to ask someone for money, wouldn't you make him feel good first? It makes the money giving easier. Praise the Lord. So they now come to meet him for advice. Okay, and he's very happy. He's giving advice. How do you know the advice will work? Only the word of God has such a promise. How do you know the advice will work? And let me tell you something. Because this is your purpose, are you in this place? Don't rush. You must get it right. So you might not have the word for that instant. Say, come back in 2 days. Let me do some searching. You know what the Bible says? It says, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The word rightly dividing is like a pharmacist. When you come to meet him, and probably you need some drugs, prescription, he rightly gives you the right doses of drugs. Do you understand? He said, you take 2 capsules for today, and then tomorrow you take 7. Praise the Lord. What an evil pharmacist. All right? And he keeps increasing dosage, but he's telling you that this pain would go if you take these drugs at this time. But we don't give drugs, we give the word of truth. So we can tell you, if someone says, I want to travel outside the country, why? Oh, let me not use that one. But I'll come back to it. If someone can say, you know, it's not good to help strangers. So it's not good to help because nowadays kidnappers are forming like strangers. They will stop cars and then enter and kill them. Thanks to Nollywood film. A woman helped a woman. The woman that she helped now stole her husband. It happens. Praise the Lord. So someone meet you that someone is asking for my help and is a stranger. What do I do? What's the word you give him? The Bible says, be not careful to entertain strangers. Are you in this place? He said, because some have entertained angels unawares. And then you go back to Abraham, who saw 3 men, they were strangers. And he called them and entertained them. Now, because of that word, no stranger can hurt you. But if you're entertaining strangers because you're a nice person, whatever your eyes see, take it like that too. But if it's based on the word, and the word cannot fail, help everybody. Nobody can hurt you. Are you seeing the wisdom for that situation? So you can go and sleep. Don't say, this one I told them to help somebody. What if they not finally meet if? What if they not finally? No, you can rest. Are you the one that spoke it? No, it's in the Bible. Except God wants to fail, and God cannot fail. So he gives them the word. Are you in this place? Someone said, I'm leaving this country. Why? Hardship. That's why. Not good enough. Every time God told people, every time men of God left, it was God that told them to leave. There was a reason. Like Abraham said, leave your father's house. So Abraham, his sons, dwelt in tents. They were rich. Are you in this place? But the instruction was, be going. Then he promised them the land of Canaan. He promised them. But he told them, pay attention to this, you like it. He told them, I can't give you that land now because the iniquities of the Amalekites is not yet full. Do you understand? Those guys were terrible. Very terrible. But God said, I want their terribleness to be enough for me to deal with them. So I can't give you now. Let them keep doing bad things. You know, the people that are doing bad things, they think they're going away with it. No. God told, I think it was Jacob. He said, it's not yet full. So your descendants would have to remain in a strange country for 400 years. But after that form, because God knows it, he said 400 years, their cup would have been full. And then when he told the children of Israel to go into Canaan, he told them, he said, these people were very bad. So the land vomited them. And he said, you, when you're going there, don't do what they did, else the land will vomit you. They did what they did. And the land vomited them. My point is, every other person God told to move, before they moved, every person that was successful, they moved because God told them to. The ones that come to my mind, if you have something else, you can tell me. I'd like to hear it. And that's the beautiful thing about the word of God. Because they always bring the word of God to me, all right? But when Lot moved, did anybody send him? No. He saw the green grass. He saw the blue sky. That place looked better. And he moved. The next chapter, they kidnapped him. Did he come back? No. shame. How did he end up? In a cave. His two daughters raped him. A disgrace. He was the first caveman. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So you don't do things because things are hard. This country is bad. What does that even mean? Are you not lying in green pastures? The other person that comes to mind that just left because things were hard was Elimelech. Do you know Elimelech? Who is Elimelech? Naomi's husband. How did he end up? He died. His two sons died. They went. Naomi eventually returned to the same country they left. And that was where she found her prosperity. You see, this is the wisdom of God I'm giving you. I'm giving you from the word of God. That you don't do things because where you are is hard. No. No. It's not about where you are. It's about who's with you. Are you in this place? The place you say is hard is a wilderness. Who created the wilderness? The good land you're going to, who made the good land? Can he not turn the wilderness to a fruitful place? Of course he can. You see, so this brings me to the last part of this message. That's why you should know the word of God. Because you see that it's linked to your purpose. See, that's why every day you can measure your progress. I'm giving people God's word. Even in your own life, because you have to use your own life too. You don't just make decisions. There's a word for every decision. Are you in this place? And then when people come to you as a minister, you give them God's word. Say, please, my friend offended me. And I've prayed to God. And I've prayed to God to touch the friend's heart. So that, you know, we can now talk. When they come to you, you give them the word of God. Say, that's not what Jesus said, though. Jesus said, you go and settle with your friend. Why? Because you might be the one who's wrong. Are you saying that? And you're just being arrogant. You know, if you don't find out what the matter was, you think that they owe you an apology. By the time you go and meet them, you say, the other day I greeted you, you didn't answer me, you even eyed me. That's why you're not giving them. Then you meet them and tell them, say, actually, I didn't see you. In fact, what happened was I was thinking because I just lost someone. Ah. Now you'll be ashamed. Praise the Lord. So Jesus is smarter than you. He said, don't be arrogant and think that you were offended. Go and ask. Go and meet the person and settle it. Praise the Lord. See, that's the wisdom of God for that situation. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. Yeah. Someone says, look, I have people that are stopping me in that compound.
Or in that office.
Or in that office.
That ties at me. Even now, I can't even eat in peace.
No.
That prepares a table before me. In the presence of my enemies. If they come to you for counsel, say, my brother and my sister, bring out your food flask and eat. Do the word of God. Praise the Lord. And this is why knowing the word of God is so important. Abandon giving people advice from your mind. Are you in this place? Abandon that project. There are people that are always reading books, always quoting names of people you don't even know existed. Have you seen people like that? Most of us would have a friend that is like that. According to Ephesians of the 16th century, say, guy, do you know him? Does he know you? He said, Confucius said Confucius. Even the name is not encouraging. So there are people like that. They always give you wisdom from different books. They think by, praise the Lord. They think by quoting different authors that we don't even know if they are real or not. We should be inspired. There's nothing wrong with quoting different authors, but would it work? There's no certainty. The only word that you can give that you know would produce a result. Are you in this place? That cannot be defeated. Do you know the word of God cannot be defeated? That means the counsel you provide cannot be defeated. There is no counsel against the Lord. Are you in this place? It's the word of God. It's the word of God you tell them to do. And you know that if they are doing it, nothing can happen that will hurt them. You can go and sleep. And it's the word of God that you do, that you know if you're doing it, nothing can happen that would shake you. Are you in this place? It's the word of God. So how do you begin to know the word of God? It's simple. Thank God it's the word of God. All you have to do is to sit down and read it. All of the glories, your purpose, this, that, boils down to you sitting down and studying the word. Because how else will you know
something happened in the Bible that this person is coming to meet you for, and you give them the word. How would you divide the word of truth if you don't have it? Have you seen a pharmacist giving someone invisible paracetamol? Is that a serious pharmacist? They say, now imagine the injection is choking you. Shout, shout, shout. Is that a serious pharmacist? You must have the real thing, praise the Lord. That means you must make the word of God your inheritance, your possession. You must know what's inside this Bible. So when someone meets you, you have it for them. Are you in this place? So the little thing that we do, reading Bible every day, Bible reading plan, take it seriously. Take it seriously. Follow. Because it's by reading one chapter, you will find out some new things. Those of us that have been following Bible reading, I've not been surprised of some things you are seeing. Very shocking. Some things I didn't even know were there. You see it. At times you've read that place before, but you read it again, you see something else. Now, praise the Lord. There's some of you, now you can talk about what Isaiah said. Before you didn't know what Isaiah was talking. But because you read the word, you know. And so you can give solutions. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Someone will look at you and say, this wisdom coming out of your mouth. Listen, that means that God's expectation for us is that we speak wisdom. Not foolishness. Not lies, but wisdom. Someone comes to meet you, there's a wisdom for that situation. You have it in the word. Are you in this place? That means that there's no time in your life you say, ah, I don't know the advice I gave that person. I messed up. Not you. Because you have the word of God. You're giving them the word of God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah. For this, Jesus said, to this end was I born. For this cause came I into the world. To bear witness unto the truth. To give you the truth. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
To give the word. This is why you're here. Are you seeing that now? This is why you're here. Now, giving the word of God covers every other thing. Is it financial challenges? The word of God has increased. Are you seeing that? Is it body pain? There is healing in the word. Are you seeing that? Is it a decision on how to be? Is it a character problem? There's almost every character represented in the word of God, do you know? You can see the characters that people exhibited and God was angry with and the ones that he praised. And you can say, this character that you're showing like this, it will not end well for you. You can say it with confidence because you can see it in the word of God. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So life has become simple, but dedicate time to the word. Spend time reading the word. Are you in this place? A chapter every day. As simple as that is, do it. And let me tell you something, this is preparing you for the future. When I mean future, I don't mean 50 years from now, it's too small. I'm talking about your future with God. Remember something, and I'll end with this. The Bible tells us in Revelations that there will be no sun, do you know? And there will be no heat. Without what you're going through in Lagos, heat, calm down. Look into the future. There will be no heat. Praise the Lord. It says, for the Lamb shall be their light. Are you in this place? The Lord will be their light. Now, what does it mean by that? Does it mean that when we look up, it's a lamp we are seeing instead of the sun? No. Because remember, when John, don't lose me. When John saw Jesus in a vision, he saw a sword from his mouth. Right? But then Jesus talked, meaning that it wasn't really a sword straight out of his mouth. So these are symbolisms. So when he says the lamp is the light, who is the lamp? The word. The word is the light. And the Bible already tells us here to walk in the light as he is in the light. We should do the word of God. So now, in that place, it's not because you saw the sun showed you a clear road. That's why you follow it. No, it's because the word of God said this is the place you should go. So the word you're learning now will be relevant then. Because there is no, you know, here people can say, I know what the Bible says, but what are you saying? There's nothing like that there. You're only led by the word of God. It's the word of God that will give you direction, would describe, you know, light describes. It's the word of God that will describe situation for you there because the word of God is the light over there. So this is eternal investment. Not just you walking according to God's word for your life, but eternal investment for the future. I told you, some of you are getting close to meeting God. It's best you start thinking about it now. Not by the time you're 85, I don't want to die. What have you been doing here since? But if you think about that future, you're entering with bliss. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Say thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your word. Thank you for direction. Thank you for clarity. Thank you because I'm listening to your word and I'm doing your word. Thank you because I'm winning every day. Hallelujah. I want to give you something for the week. God told me to tell you, calm down and subdue circumstances. Are you in this place for this week? Don't let any circumstance overwhelm you. Put it in its place. Don't let financial hardship overwhelm you. You've received abundance of grace. I have two scriptures for that. Go to Romans 5 verse 17. You can have your seat, please. Romans 5 verse 17. It says, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more, they which receive abundance, I like it. You know, grace is beautiful for every situation. Do you understand? What you cannot get by your ability or connection, you can get by grace. Do you get this thing? What your money cannot provide for you, grace can. If you don't have enough money, get grace. Grace will give it free of charge. Why? Because if it's grace, you cannot work for it. It comes free of charge. So if you received abundance of grace, where there should be trouble, you have enough peace. Because that is what grace provides. It says, they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. What is he telling you? He's telling you that things would happen to challenge you, but reign. Are you seeing that? Reign, subdue. So what he's telling you is that on this earth, you will definitely hear things that will try to trouble you. Put it in its place. Are you seeing that? Don't let it rise and overwhelm you. Always remember, you're the one to reign. You're the one to put it in its place. When God made man, he told him to subdue. So when Satan was talking to Eve via the serpent, what should man have done? Get out. He should have subdued. Are you in this place? But that first man messed up. Then you come, the second man, Jesus. The same way Satan was tempting Eve with food, Satan comes to meet Jesus and tempts him with food. At the end of the conversation, what did Jesus do? Get thee behind me, Satan. He subdued, praise the Lord. So it doesn't matter the challenges coming, reign in life. Subdue. Someone says your heart is beating fast, that's hypertension. Down. You say it's now normal. Are you in this place? Yeah. Don't let anything trouble your health. Are you in this place? Don't let anything trouble your blood pressure. Because some people, they know all these things so well. Don't let anything trouble you. Reign in life. Bring it to order. Are you in this place? Subdue it. Subdue it. Go to Psalms 2 verse 2. Because let me tell you something. Jesus has won. And he has given you the victory. But because he has won, doesn't mean Satan will not still try to play his tricks. Are you in this place? He will still try to make you think that things are hard. You're finished. But Satan is a defeated foe. Keep him in his place. Are you in this place? Always ensure he's under your feet. Far under. Never let his head rise up. Praise the Lord. Psalm 2 verse 2. It says, the kings of this earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. He's saying there are people like that. They have no shame. See boldness. They're trying to plot against the Lord and against his anointed. Aren't you the anointed of the Lord? Meaning that there are things that will try to plot against you. Challenge the word of God in your life. Verse 3. Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. This is so significant. Go back to verse 3. These kings that are plotting against the Lord and his anointed are already captive. Did you notice that? What they are plotting is to be free. That means the Lord and his anointed has already subdued them. But they are trying to be loose. Poverty in your life has been subdued. But the economic news can try to make it loose. Are you in this place? So here he's talking about the Lord ensuring his reigning. He says, let us break their bands asunder. Look at your health. It is stable. You're living in wholeness. That sickness that used to bother you before you got born again, it's gone. But all of a sudden, it's like it's coming back. He's trying to break the bands asunder. Praise the Lord. That's the plot. Verse 4. He says, he that's dead in heaven shall laugh. So it doesn't matter the news you hear this week. That's the message for you. It doesn't matter the news you hear this week. It doesn't matter how your body begins to feel this week. Remember something. For them to be plotting against the Lord, it means they have been subdued. They are only trying to make noise. Praise the Lord. So it doesn't matter the financial hardship, the health situation, it has been subdued. Put it there. Keep it there. Are you in this place? Don't say, I don't know how my body is paining me, or say, wow, the life of God is inside of me. He said, that same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells inside of me and is giving life to my mortal bodies. Are you in this place? This week, don't let any circumstance overwhelm you. Do you know you are the king? Hey! You know, I read John 18 verse 37. But I didn't show you something very big. Go back there. Do you have ISV? Use another version. Let me see if it has it. Why ISV is the best? another one. Not HCSB. BBE. Do you have another one? Do you have ISV? ISV gives you the best way. It's not there. Let me read ISV for some of us. John 18. All right. Pay attention. Pilate asked him, so you are a king? Jesus answered, you say that I am a king. Sorry, not ISV. I've left ISV now. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. ERV. Pilate, and please download ERV because I'm always using ERV. All right. What's ERV? Because when you hear VVV, sounding somehow. All right. Pilate said, so you are a king? Jesus answered, you are right to say that I am a king. I was born for this, to tell people about the truth. That is why I came into the world. And everyone who belongs to the truth listens to me. Now, this is where I'm going to. I said, this week, rain. Why? If our purpose, are you in this place? To this end were we born. All right? To talk about the truth. But see how it started. I am a king. Are you in this place? I am a king. Meaning that no matter the situation that happens, I have to remind myself, I am the king here. Are you in this place? I'm the one that is supposed to reign. I'm the one supposed to have dominion. So subdue it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Someone can say, auntie, I don't tell what's going on. Say, no, there is peace. Subdue it. Don't let Satan try to act as though he has not been subdued. He says, the kings of this world say, let us, you know, cast their bands asunder. No, but Satan has been subdued. The problem has been subdued. The challenge has been subdued. Reign in life. Say, I'm making progress. Say, I'm walking in victory. Say, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Say, I have overcome. Glory, 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 glory. Hold on. There's someone here. At times it's like you lose hearing. You know, you're hearing, but at times it's like one ear, you notice like the sound is going away. You don't need healing. You have the word. Subdue. Are you in this place? Your ears were made to hear the word of God. And the word of God they would hear without distraction, without confusion. Hallelujah. So this week, if anything comes to try to make you question the word of God, subdue, reign over that situation. Just go ahead and talk to the Lord and thank him.